Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
As new creatures in Christ, there is a great need to learn how to appropriate what is already ours. Everything that the cross has provided, all the benefits of being delivered, reconciled, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb that has also given us salvation and resurrected life. The cross provided more than just getting out of hell and into heaven. The cross has set us free to live. So join in the conversation as we begin to reckon on these divine truths. As we discuss these divine truths that we should be reckoning on, I want to start us with the foundation found in Philippians 3. Starting in verse 8, because we can't really know how to reckon, Janie, until we know who to reckon with. So in Philippians 3, verse 8, Paul says, "I count all things loss that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death."
Sharon, in your opening for us today, you explained the mercies of God in covering the doctrines of the Lord that He set forth in the book of Romans. His mercies are explained in the first, really, 11 and a half chapters of Romans.
Okay.
And those include justification, getting us out of condemnation, bringing us into a word called sanctification that has the same meaning of what you just spoke of, reckoning.
Okay.
So to be sanctified is to reckon on all of the mercies and the doctrines that God has given us in Romans.
Well, we can't know how to reckon on the things that we learn until we know the person that said the things that we need to reckon on.
Sharon, knowing the person of Christ and believing what He says really has a big difference between knowing about Him and knowing on how to reckon on what we know.
Right. I think I get that.
Well, let's give an example. Paul did not tell his readers to feel as if they were dead to sin, or even to understand it fully in its depth of concepts, but to act on God's word and claim it for themselves. That requires faith, Sharon. To the level that we know and understand, we act on that faith, and then the Lord gives us deeper insights to who He is as a person.
Okay, so I probably should read that verse, Janie. And it's in Romans 6:11 that you're referring to. "Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord."
And the fact that we are dead to sin and alive to God is truth.
Right.
And it remains truth whether we live by that or not.
Right. So as new creatures in Christ, we have promises that are already given to us because we're new creatures in Christ. Whether we live in those facts or not, they're still true. We just need to know how to appropriate that truth in our life so that we can live victorious.
And maybe the way we can say that, Sharon, is that reckoning is not claiming a promise. It's acting on the facts.
Right.
Facts are true. We can accept them, and it can bring us into a reckoning that increases who we are in our understanding, a hunger for Scripture, or we don't have to accept them or do anything about them at all. But the facts of truth still remain as truth.
It's sort of like if you don't believe in gravity, you're still going to fall off a building if you jump from a three-story building. Whether you believe it or not, it's true.
Now, that's a great physical analogy. Now, we're going to bring that into a spiritual truth.
Okay.
Reckoning is a matter of faith that will issue in an action. So I'm just going to repeat this again, Sharon. Reckoning is not claiming a promise, but acting on the facts which remain true whether we act upon them or not.
Right. And the facts of these divine truths that we're talking about today, many of them are found, well, all throughout the scriptures, but there's some foundation found in Romans that we really want to reckon on today.
And when you read that book, you can trust the Holy Spirit and Almighty God, and certainly in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, as they're working as a Trinity, to let us see, hear, and digest the facts, the truth.
Okay.
And the truth is a person.
Jesus Christ.
That's right. And as we accept the facts that we know by faith, trusting Him to deepen us, then we could discern.
Right.
And that is a growth process, as Hebrews tells us, that as our senses are exercised, we can then discern right from wrong, and we can reckon on the truth and reject the wrong.
Right.
Okay, so let's do a fact check, Sharon.
Okay.
And we aren't going to depend upon Snoops for verification. Chapter 1 tells us that man is born in sin and that he rejects God's plan and he's separated. That's the fact of chapter 1. Chapter 2 says we are inexcusable for the way we try to live life without God, and that we are subject to the consequences of an evil nature, and that we inherited that evil nature from the fall of Adam at the garden.
Right.
And so we have been corrupted really since creation.
Right.
All right. Then we take chapter 3 and it says, hey, we're all guilty. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of being in sin is death. And that is impossible for us to change, except...
And that death is separation from God, right?
It is.
The death that...
It is.
For eternity.
But now here is the word of the day, Sharon. Chapter 4 is the greatest chapter we have in all of the scriptures on reckoning.
Okay.
Because reckoning means imputation. Ooh, big word.
Yeah.
It just means that everything that God is has given to us as a gift, that we no longer have to live guilty with the wages of sin being death. Now, all that he is called imputation that he has given to us, but the plain simple word that we can use is the word reckoning. It's the same word in the Greek.
Okay, so the Lord has taken what we deserved and took that upon himself and gave us all that he is as a promise.
It's a promise and it's a reality. And Sharon, we have said this expression at least 24 times, and I'm going to say it 21 times. All that God is available to the man, woman, boy, or girl that is available to all that God is. And that is imputation, and that is reckoning for all that God is to us.
So everything that Christ has already done for us is available for us, to us. It's already in us, but we have to know how to appropriate it. And that's why we need to be students of the Word with a heart to know God as we read those scriptures, so that when we hear truths, the process that we go through to apply that is a reckoning.
Yes, and there is something that just happened recently that I know to be true, but I experienced it again. And that is well-meaning Christians that really want to serve the Lord, and they really want to know the Lord. They believe that in knowing Scripture, that is the fulfillment of knowing the Lord.
Yeah.
Now, that word knowing has depths that we can talk about, Sharon, but we know that it takes more than just reading the Scriptures, because we don't get the truth from the Scriptures to actually be able to live in what they may be saying.
So where's the drop?
Sharon, I think maybe I can best explain that by going over to 2 Thessalonians, 3rd chapter, and the 16th verse. And there was a problem with people being anxious and having to work their problems out. And so Paul just capsulizes by saying, now, wait a minute, people. Don't be weary in well-doing. Don't be anxious on things that you can't understand that would rob you of your peace. Because may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. Sharon, we can know so much of the Scriptures and still not know the author of the Scriptures. And you mm-hmm. use the word to know, to reckon.
Mm-hmm.
We have to know a person. And so many of us know the Scriptures, value the Scriptures, trust the Scriptures. But there's something that lacks in us that we don't take the time, the discipline, the need, or the desire to just know him.
So what I hear you saying is that when we read the Scriptures, maybe we are reading it and trying within ourselves to apply it in a way that doesn't include knowing the author of it.
And that is well said. And Sharon, that is not a derogatory thing, because anytime anyone is seeking to know the Lord,
mm-hmm.
that is of the mind of God. That is with great value to pleasing the Lord.
Right.
But if we're not students of knowing him and using the word as one of the tools.
Okay, so we have used the word student as we've talked about being students of the word and studying the Scriptures and knowing that if we don't know the Scriptures, then we don't know Jesus Christ. Those are all things that we have said. When you think about a student, it's a learner. I mean, we're sitting down, we're studying to gain knowledge in our head.
So, Sharon, we use the word student in knowing him. When I taught school, the students that excelled were the ones who had a passion from their heart to know. They were not satisfied with just gaining information, because the courses that I taught required them to have hands-on application.
Right.
And so they had to have a zeal and a heart to understand how to apply what I had taught them.
Right.
And the okay. students that tried to keep it in their head and mechanically implement what I had taught them never did as well as the ones who had a passion from their heart to apply what they had learned.
I see. So maybe what we should reevaluate how we explain that then. Maybe we should talk about being a child to learn from the Word of God in who he is and who he's called us to be and who he says we are.
So Sharon, to know the person is to be broken by what the person has told us and done in us and for us. And then the Spirit has to make that alive in us. And so it is a person that we need to know. We need to know his heart. But Sharon, we have to be on guard that we don't settle for a lesser standard because what's being required of us costs too much. And we think we can get where we're going by settling for loving the Lord and serving the Lord.
Yeah.
And that's what happened at the church at Ephesus.
Right.
They loved the Lord. They were guarding their hearts. They were doing good. They were serving. They were making sure no corruption entered. But Sharon, what did the Lord tell them they were missing?
Love.
Loving Him first.
So we can get so intellectually astute that we forget the person that wrote the scriptures.
Our first love.
So you're saying that as a student of the word, we should examine the intent of our heart for being that student. Do we simply want to gain knowledge, to know more and more of the scriptures? Or is our intent a passion to know the Father through His Word and develop a closer relationship with Him as His child?
And a child gets to know its father by just being with the Father, talking to the Father, and loving the Word, not getting it for our intellectualism to know. It's getting so that we can know the heart.
Right.
A relationship is heart to heart.
Mm-hmm.
So in knowing Him, our prayer life has to be developed.
So some of the ways that we have studied the scriptures is in a intellectual way. And when we involve our heart, then we have to reckon it. We have to reckon the scriptures back to our heart, because it may be saying something that we don't want to hear. It may be saying something that shows us our sin. It may be saying something that that we haven't believed to be true. And then it illuminates. We have to reckon that back to our heart. And that's why you're saying that we have to be students of the Word with our heart.
Yes, and now somebody listening today is saying, "When a girl's, wait a minute. The Bible says the heart is deceitfully wicked, and who can know it?" And I would agree. But you know what? Jesus Christ knows. And when He knows our heart, even though we may not recognize the wickedness that can be there, He says, "I will take what is of Me, and through My Spirit, being the guide and the illuminator for where we are in the time that we live, I will honor that heart, and I will overcome any deception, because it is a heart to heart." And maybe that's why this show got named Sharon Hearts.
Well, you know, when we read a letter that has been written to us, whether it's in an email or a card or, you know, a handwritten letter, we see into the person that has written the letter. We do that with books. When we read, we see the heart of the person who wrote the book by the way they write and the things that they say. And so I guess the same, if not more, is true of who wrote the Bible for our growth, for our good, to explain who He is and who we are and the relationship that He wants to have with us.
You've just triggered something that I've got to share. I didn't plan on sharing this, but I don't plan on a lot of things. We both have been accused of having the gift of gab. And I certainly am one-upsmanship on you with that area. But let's take that gift of gab and apply it to Paul as he lays out all of the letters that he wrote. Most of the letters that he wrote had less than 1,300 words in the letter. Now, if anybody's terribly bored, they can go back and count those in the scriptures. Okay. But that is what I get from one of my statisticians.
Okay.
Do you know how many words he wrote in Romans? Over 7,000.
Wow.
He wanted to give his heart in establishing his love for what Jesus Christ had done and to get to know him. And so Paul had the gift of gab in Romans so that we could know from our heart to his heart. And that makes the difference. Do we study to know his heart and then be satisfied with being able to just know his mind?
Well, you know, Janie, Jesus is truth. He is the divine truth that we have to reckon with. And as we read the scriptures with a true heart to know him, to reckon that against ourselves, then we will come to know him better, deeper, more intimate, and grow in that sanctification process that you talked about. That's a growing and maturing process.
So to summarize what we're saying is, Sharon, yes, let's study the scripture. Let's study the scripture as students wanting to know. But let's make sure our heart is involved to know what he says so that we can hear his heart. So then it is life to us. It'll never be just information. It'll never be going to a seminary and learning all the rules and all the Greek and all the Hebrew and still be lost and not able to see people grow in grace and knowledge.
So then to conclude us today, Janie, you have some instructions that we can take to begin the process of reckoning. And this will just help us to understand how to take those steps to maturity. So the first thing we need to do is to know Jesus Christ. And that's the first step to reckoning?
Yes, and that's going to engage your mind. It's going to be centered with your mind pursuit.
Okay.
Then the second instruction, Sharon, is to reckon or focus on the heart. And this is really the inner presence with the Holy Spirit abiding within. And you have to make sure that your spirit is in tune with accepting the truth from the spirit.
Okay.
Look for your facts and stand on your facts. That's what's true.
Okay.
The Holy Spirit will then give you the other facts that you need as you reckon on the final authority of who Jesus Christ is. And then last but not least is your third instructions, because you now have to choose with your will to reckon on everything else we've said today.
Okay, so when you say choose with our will to reckon, that you're just saying to accept. When we reckon, we're throwing out something old to receive in the truth, the facts of the scriptures.
But the will has to make that decision, because the will can also not reckon but reject.
Oh,
and it
okay.
is our responsibility to make sure we are reckoning and not rejecting the truth.
Oh, okay.
And ignoring the facts of the truth.
Okay.
So now we have just engaged the mind, the will, the emotions, which is our heart.
Okay.
So we have to be students, and we have to be lovers of the one that we're being trained under, and we have to be broken to see his heart, and then we know how to apply it.
Amen. Well, that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzlaff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHearts.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, Hearts, H-E-A-R-T-S.org.